Support for this program comes from Jazz on the Tube, the Internet's largest collection of free streamable classic jazz videos. From Miles Davis to Louis Armstrong, from Thelonious Monk to Duke Ellington, you'll find it all on jazzonthetube.com. Start your free subscription today.
Hi, and welcome to Jazz Talk, a Jazz on the Tube podcast. My name is Ken McCarthy, and this is where we talk with people who are doing important work that supports and illuminates the music we love. The writers, the scholars, the educators, the filmmakers, the producers, and more.
And today we have a very special guest, Michael Lazaroff. We're going to be talking about one of the great institutions in jazz, originally created and envisioned and brought into being by the legendary Anita Barry. She basically made the impossible happen. There was a great jazz cruise series that was on its way out of business, and she figured out, let's not let it go out of business, let's save it. And not only was it saved, it was built into one of the great institutions of jazz in our times. And we're going to be talking with Michael about new things, new initiatives. We don't need to talk about the reality that everything's changed for the time being. And so what we are going to talk about are the really intriguing and interesting and exciting things Michael and his team are working on. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken, very much. It is a pleasure. And you guys have been terrific supporters of jazz for years and years.
And I really mean that, you know, like everything else, there's people that know about the jazz cruise. There's people that don't. For people that don't know about it, it is basically a floating city of jazz. It is a great thing for the musicians, a great thing for the fans, a great thing for the jazz community, great thing for the music itself. It gave musicians this wonderful opportunity to chill out a little bit. We generally imagine our jazz musicians are just sort of relaxing. Actually, they're on the road a lot, working really hard. So when they can go somewhere and just settle for a while and see each other and have some impromptu jazz sessions, it's like the old days. And so that's what jazz, the whole jazz crew movement, and it is a movement, brought back to jazz. Because let's face it, we don't have the same kind of jazz scenes we used to have. You know, we don't have Kansas City. We don't have Central Avenue in Los Angeles. We don't have Fillmore Street in San Francisco. We don't have 52nd Street in New York City. So let's talk about the future and the present and what your company is doing.
Thank you. We have decided, in fact, we decided a couple of months ago that it would not be appropriate to sail in the first quarter of 2021. And that's the first time in over 20 years that we have postponed a cruise. And the reason why we did it is because we could not imagine being able to sail without some level of social distancing or requirements, and that just ran completely contrary to everything that of the jazz cruise has been for the last 20 years. And as you said, it is probably now the largest straight-ahead jazz event in the world, largely because most jazz festivals now incorporate lots of different music genres. They may be called a jazz festival, but they are not pure straight-ahead jazz. That is what the jazz cruise was, has been, and will be. So we had this pocket of time, and we were trying to figure out if there was something else that we could do to give the musicians something to look forward to give our guests something to look forward to, and something that we could do that might be fun. And we honed in on Las Vegas. And the reason we honed in there is because they have many, many large, lovely theaters, and they've got great hotels. And in terms of handling guests and handling people and safety precautions. Las Vegas is difficult to beat. They really know what they're doing. I mean, that city exists solely for the purpose of entertaining people.
Right,
and,
right.
I mean, without that, there'd be no reason for the city whatsoever. So we went to the top. We were introduced to the president of Wynn and Encore.
Oh.
And we are going to the Encore Theater, and we are using the Encore Hotel as our base of operations. And they have a 1,600 seating capacity theater, 92,000 square feet. And we believe that as long as the current circumstances don't worsen, by the time that we have the event, which is the last week in February 2021, we should be able to get 1,000 people there. And
gotcha.
So we came up with a terrific lineup of folks for it, and we are working on it now. We're going to have a big band. We're going to have Christian McBride, Kurt Elling, Ann Hampton Calloway. It's going to be a Randy Brecker. It's going to be a terrific five-day, five-night jazz festival. We're going to have 9 sessions. There'll be the first session is Sunday evening, and so we'll have 5 in a row evening sessions of 6 hours of music each. So that's 30 hours. And then Monday
nice.
Through Thursday, we'll have a 4.5-hour afternoon session. And then on Monday through Thursday, we'll have a breakfast event. So it is over 50 hours of music. We have a 2-hour break between the afternoon session and the evening session, at which time, you know, people can, you know, go to dinner, and we are providing them with a fairly significant stipend for their dinner. All the rooms at the Encore are a suite. They are absolutely gorgeous, and they're 745 square feet large. Just by comparison, that's actually 3 times larger than our Sky Suite on the ship. My only fear is people are going to say, okay, well, I'm going to stay here.
Right.
So we got that going on, and it's a one price, you know, for all the shows. There'll be 9 music sessions, but you get a ticket for each session. So if you want to share with somebody, you can share with somebody. We're going to do reserve seats. Because we don't want people lining up for any reason whatsoever. And the guys are going to be there for almost the whole time, all of them, and they're going to hang, and they're going to, it's all in one theater. So we can create a bubble within that one theater. Once you get into the theater, you're going to be, whatever the right rules are then, you'll be tested and all this stuff like that. Hopefully by then it won't be a big deal. But once you're in, and we control who goes in, who comes out. And we're going to have just a whole lot of fun. One of the really important aspects of the jazz cruise is the interaction with the artists and musicians. And so we're going to keep that going. But we're going to have our typical jazz cruise events. We're going to have keyboard capers. We're going to have Shelley Berg with all of the vocalists. We're going to have a big band. We're going to have all of our all-star groups, as well as some amazing performing groups. And in terms of vocalists, we have Ann Hampton Calloway, Kurt Elling, Clint Holmes, Steve Tyrell, Cyril Ame, Nikki Harris, and I'm sure John Pizzarelli. It's going to be a lot of fun. We took the cream of the crop from the usual jazz cruise, and we've added a couple of people. But our goal is really to give people the feel of the jazz cruise in this setting.
Gotcha. You know, that's one of the things you described I hadn't really thought about. but it's fun to be with a whole bunch of jazz fans in the same place for an extended period of time. You meet a lot of people, you have a lot of fascinating conversations. And let's face it, us jazz fans, you know, sometimes our friends and neighbors and relatives don't want to hear our great jazz stories. But one thing for sure, you will find an audience for them. I can't tell you the number of fascinating conversations I have with people about their lives in jazz. We had a lot of players, you know, retired players on the cruise, people that have been producers, people that have, you know, been really in the music in a deep way, and to encounter those people and hear their stories is a fantastic thing. So basically, functionally, so I buy one ticket. Does that get me my hotel room as well? So I get the hotel room.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So I get my room's handled. I don't have to hassle with that. The music is on tap. Sounds like all day,
right?
Which is another amazing experience. Very rare in this world. You know, there used to be times and places in American history where the music never stopped, but that's just not the case in most places. But this is going to be a place where you can get all the music you can handle and then some. And then for meals, people can go anywhere they want within the hotel, or how does that work?
The site has 18 different restaurants. It has 6 or 7
wow.
fine dining restaurants. It has casual dining, and we are providing a fairly significant stipend for anything that you eat on site. Now, of course, you can go off site. You can go to other places, and there's a right across the street from the Wynn Encore is a thing called the Fashion Show Mall, which has another whole set of restaurants and stuff. But I've been to Encore. You're only there 5 nights. You aren't gonna want to leave. There are so many gorgeous places. And as anyone who has ever been to Las Vegas knows, that all of these hotel properties are built so that you don't leave. They don't want you to leave. They want you to stay right then and there. And this place has great spas. It's the only hotel on the strip that has a golf course, the old Delta Inn golf course. Yep. Yeah. And it just has everything. I mean, it is an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous place. And we just think it'd be a great 5-day, all the jazz that you can possibly want within that time. I mean, we are talking 11 and a half hours of jazz every day.
Wow. It's jazz heaven, having been on the cruise. And what you can't do on the cruise is play golf.
That's right.
So that's a big plus. You know, one of the things I'd like to talk about is from the musician's point of view, what a wonderful thing this gig is for the musicians lucky enough to be part of it. I kind of referred to that a little earlier, but maybe we could go into it. You know, it's very often, okay, Omaha tonight, Tulsa tomorrow, El Paso the next day, and it's kind of a grind on the road. And, you know, travel's no more fun, you know, business travel's no more fun for jazz musicians than it is for the rest of us. So the ability to go somewhere and just hang. I saw a lot of musicians really let their hair down and interact. I had a great conversation with Donald Harrison that I probably never would have been able to have under any other circumstance, and it was memorable. You also spend a lot of resources on making sure you get the sound right, which is really much appreciated thing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You actually mentioned the founder of the Jazz Cruise, Anita Berry. And I knew her well, very, very well. She was my mother. And it was very important to her because she was very close to some of the players. It was very important to her that they felt that they were going to sound right, and that too often an unusual venue, such as a ship back then, nobody paid attention to that. We pay extreme attention to that. We come on the ship a week before all of our cruises, and we have a company that comes on with us and they hang speakers from the ceiling. They test the rooms. We try to make sure that the sound is good in every aspect of the room. And so where we place the speakers matters, and the microphones and everything else. The one time that I knew that we were doing well, I will never forget this. Pat Metheny was a special guest. He did not want to sail. So he came on, and he performed two shows, got on and off. And I was off stage standing with David Sanborn, and evidently they are both very good friends. And as we joke later, where else could three guys from Missouri get together in a jazz show? So we are all from Missouri. Anyway,
that's true.
So yeah. So Pat comes off the ship, off the stage, and says to me, Jesus, he says, I don't ever recall in the last few years being in a place that sounded better. Had I known that it sounded like this, I would have sailed the whole week. And that's a common thing. And we have piano tuners. We hire two full-time piano tuners for every cruise, because the pianos are tuned after every performance. Okay. And it's those are things behind the scenes kind of details, but it is not fair and it is not right to bring the best jazz musicians in the world and not provide them with the opportunity to sound great. That'd be awful. And that's why they love to come back, though. They know that their sound is going to be the way that they want it to be.
And of course, that same attention to detail will be in play in Las Vegas.
Times 10, because it's actually easier, because this particular theater already has much of that sitting there. So it is going to be really, really cool. Yep. Yeah,
and you won't have the ocean air undoing the piano tuning.
It's rocking back and forth, moving the amps. And
that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. It's interesting. But the guys that do it on the ship, they're amazing. I mean, we've had the same guys for, 10 years at least. And they come on that ship that first day. They come on the first day at about 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, they've done some of the prep work during the pre-cruise, but obviously we can't do too much because it is a real cruise and we can't interfere with what they're doing. And by 6 o'clock, they've got every venue up, tested, all the seats, everything. And the guys have been doing it together for so long, they don't even talk. They all know what they are supposed to do, and they get on the ship, and they do it, and then they all check it like it's nothing. It is absolutely fascinating to watch.
And it makes such a difference to the musicians and, of course, to the fans, too, to really hear the music as the musicians intended to be heard. Hey, you guys are based in the St. Louis area, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm sitting here right now. Yep.
And I always try to figure out how things came into being. And I had a great interview. We did a great interview with Dennis Owsley, who wrote a book on St. Louis jazz, a history. And he was filling me in on what a great, being a New Yorker, I'm very, chauvinistic, or a former New York City guy. I'm very chauvinistic.
Well,
it's New York. And yeah, but still, but you know what? The older I get and the more I experience, the more respect and even reverence I have for the local scenes. And he educated me that St. Louis has a jazz scene, a jazz community, and that's maybe the key word here, that's really second to none. A lot of support of the music. And I'm imagining that Anita was very involved in that from even before the cruise world began.
Yes, and so was my father.
Oh.
Dad was a saxophone player, and that was his hobby. But he was very good, and he sang. He was sort of like Bobby Short with a saxophone. And
wow.
He played all over town. And I used to go all kinds of different places with him to listen to the music, to listen to him play. He had an uncle who was a technical director for, you know, CBS. He did the Ed Sullivan Show. And I went to school up east, and I would go into New York, and Uncle Herman would take me to all kind of jazz places and stuff like that. One of the famous stories that I tell, I was a drummer. I was, as my father loved to say, I was not a musician, I was a drummer. Dad just loved that joke. And then he would tell people that I was the best drummer he's ever heard in his life who didn't have rhythm. And that's exactly right, by the way. I was a technical drummer. I just didn't have it. That's all there is to it. So my Uncle Herman calls me up, and I'm up in college, and he says, you know, come to New York Sunday. A buddy, Rich, is on the Ed Sullivan Show. I said, oh, cool. So I drive down there, and I get there, and I see Herman. He says, sit right here, and I'm going to bring Buddy Rich over. So he brings Buddy Rich over, and he says, Buddy, this is my nephew, Michael, and he is a drummer. And I'm going to clean this up a little bit, but Buddy says, why in the should I care? And then he walked away. It was a riot. It was absolutely the funniest things ever. And Uncle Herman was just mortified. I said, Herman, Uncle Herman, you told me that I would meet him. You didn't say that it'd be nice. You're fine.
There you go. And you can always say you met Buddy Rich.
Yes, I did. And there was no question that was Buddy Rich. So my dad, I mean, I've been listening to this music every Sunday morning, every Sunday all day when I was a kid. My dad used to put on Music Minus One albums. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And he would play the saxophone with whatever band he wanted to play. And there were two for drummers only Music Minus Ones. And I would try to imitate that or fill in that. And yeah, that was my youth. So, but St. Louis, across the river in East St. Louis, were some of the great jazz clubs ever. That's where Miles Davis, Clark Terry grew up and played. David Sanborn is from St. Louis, and he was one of the few Caucasian guys that went over there to play. But there was always jazz going on in St. Louis, and some of it comes from the riverboats. The riverboats used to go up and down.
Oh, of course.
And you know, and that's where there was a lot of jazz. So.
Yeah, it has
a very good tradition. Yep.
I hadn't thought about that historical continuity. The riverboats were a big deal for jazz in the early days, right? It provided a lot of work. I think it was one of the places Louis Armstrong really went to school, he says. Learned a lot of musicianship things on an extended gig on a riverboat. So it's interesting that, you know, that tradition in a different form got continued based on the efforts of an organization based in St. Louis.
Yep.
So Michael, for people who are intrigued by this, and really you should, if you've never been on the jazz cruise, hopefully that day will come when you have a chance to do that. But in the meantime, on terrestrial in a terrestrial way, you can experience this. All I can call it is it's a city of jazz. They're going to turn this hotel into Jazz City for the 5 days that it's happening. And if you've never experienced, it's beyond festival. And as Michael pointed out, it really is true that I think Berks is probably the last terrestrial jazz festival left on Earth. Maybe there's some over in Europe. I don't know.
Right.
But it's really hard to get a pure jazz festival anymore, and I understand the economics and so on. You know, I can't judge somebody else's business, but I can say that Michael's outfit is pure jazz from the first note to the last note every day, and it's I call it jazz heaven. So, Michael, how do people find out more about this? Sign up, learn about it.
Well, yeah, you go to thejazzcruise.com, thejazzcruise.com. When we name our cruises, we don't spend a lot of time hiding the ball. It is fairly straightforward. Thejazzcruise.com, and it's right on the home page. You'll see both of the information for our absolutely amazing Jazz Cruise 22. I was just looking at the lineup for the Jazz Cruise 22, and we've got four NEA Jazz Masters, and that doesn't even include a Monty Alexander and a whole bunch of people who either will be, should be, could be NEA Jazz Masters. But it's going to be amazing. But right there is a link to the Vegas show, and it is very, very cool, and I am hereby inviting you, Ken, to be my guest there. You get yourself there, and I'll take care of everything else, and because it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be very, very cool, okay?
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, so everybody, when you go to thejazzcruise.com, there's, of course, the lineup for 2022, which is great. Then there's this big banner that says the music's in Las Vegas in 2021. You click on that. And what I also like, because even though I'm an internet guy, I really like the telephone. For people that like to do things by phone, you can, right? Someone can navigate this entire thing by phone. They can talk to a live human being and work out their reservation. So I was so tickled when I saw the announcement that the Jazz Cruise is going to set sail in Las Vegas for 5 days in 2021 and keep the music going, keep our beloved musicians employed, which is not an insignificant thing. Thank you for that. Keep the community together. Give people that love the music, for whom this is a big thing, another opportunity to experience it. Hot and cold running jazz all day and night. So thank you, Michael, and to your whole team for your creativity and your fortitude. I can only imagine what you guys have had to deal with. And here we're going to have this beautiful event come out of it. And then when all this stuff is over, we'll be back at sea again. So that's thejazzcruise.com. Check it out. If you've never been to Vegas, everything Michael said is true. It is absolutely designed for the traveler in mind. It's the smoothest in and out experience you can imagine. And these hotels are like palaces. And the food, you won't be complaining about the food, that's for sure. And then the lineup is incredible. And the other thing I want to say, because it's so important, you're going to see these guys in the hallway. You might strike up a conversation with some of them. It's an environment like no other that I've experienced. I mean, I've been backstage, you know, at festivals, but this is where everybody, you know, whether you're backstage or in a seat, has a chance to rub elbows and see your favorite musicians up close. So that's thejazzcruise.com. We've been talking with Michael Lazaroff, and we give it our highest recommendation.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the great service that you provide our jazz community, because without people like you, we can't get our message out, and I really thank you.
Thanks. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please share it. That's how we grow. And remember to subscribe to jazzonthetube.com, the internet's largest collection of free, streamable, classic jazz videos.
Thank you.